I'm Mary Angish, and Charlie Nardozzi, our gardening expert, is stopping by to talk about who might be using your flowering bulbs that you're planting as their own personal salad bar.
Yes, it's true, Mary. They will be doing that. The mites, the voles, the chipmunks, maybe even the squirrels. They're all going out there after all your hard work and the money you spent to buy the tulips, the crocuses, the hyacinths. They could be munching on them so that nothing comes up in the spring. So let's chat about what to do about the rodents in your garden before it becomes a problem. So the first thing you can do is understand that they don't like all the different bulbs you can be planting. Bulbs such as the daffodils or the fritillarias or the alliums or even the scillas, they don't tend to bother. So you can put beds of those in and not have to think about it. Or you can get clever and mix and match the ones they like with the ones they don't like so that they go down and try to eat and they hit some that they don't like and it's like, I'll go somewhere else. So that's one method you could use to actually solve the whole problem with the rodents. The other is if you do want to be planting tulip bulbs in a hole in the garden, what you can do is put some material in there that they're not going to like to tunnel through. So the best thing would be seashells or oyster shells that have been crushed up. Put it down in the hole and that will keep them away. The eggshells, by the way, don't work so well. Neither does diatomaceous earth because it breaks down. The other thing is you can get some repellents, like castor oil now comes as pellets. So you can put those castor oil pellets in the hole when you plant them and that'll at least save them for this year. It may not help for future years, but at least for this year, that smell is something that they don't like. And finally, if you're really desperate, you can build a cage. I built a little cage because I had these beautiful crocuses I wanted to have survive. And this cage had about half inch diameter holes, so the leaves could shoot through it, but the little mice could not get into it. I put the bulbs in the cage, buried the cage in the ground, and every year it comes up in flowers. So there's some ideas you could try to keep the little mice, voles, and chippies away from your bulbs.
Okay, here's a couple of questions for you, Charlie. This one from Lisa in New Hampshire. Lisa writes, I recently separated and repotted my indoor snake plant with Miracle Grow potting soil. The next day, I noticed little gnats flying around in the soil. It was recommended to dispose of all the soil, which I did. What is the best soil for the snake plant?
Well, Lisa, you're on the right track as far as repotting that. I think maybe you just got a bad batch of potting soil. That's the only thing I could think of. So I would try a different brand, a different type of potting soil, and something that's good for houseplants. Once you've repotted it, the other key thing to do is to make sure before you put the new soil in is to wash that pot that you use really well with like a 10% bleach solution and let it dry out. Because what that'll do is that'll kill any eggs that are in the pot, not only the potting soil, but the pot itself. So repot it, wash off all the soil off of that snake plant root. That's where they could be as well. Put it all back together and you should be good. If it still happens, you can put a couple inch thick layer of sand on top of the potting soil and that will stop the adult fly from laying the eggs because when they lay the eggs in the sand, the eggs will dry out and die and you'll stop the whole life cycle. So good luck.
This next question comes from Jim in Middlebury, and the subject line is Tennessee Red Valencia peanuts, ... And Jim writes, well, they've come this far. Now I'm wondering, number one, how yellow do the leaves have to be before I pull up the plants? Number two, I covered them against the brief frost. Do I keep doing that to extend the season? And number three, full disclosure, I never saw blossoms process and only witnessed a few blossoms at all. What can you tell about Jim and his Tennessee Red Valencia peanuts?
Well, welcome to the peanut growing club, Jim. I grow that exact same variety in our greenhouse and I just harvested it. We have an unheated greenhouse and it did pretty well. It wouldn't get enough peanuts to feed the family or even feed me for very long, but it was still a fun activity. So Jim, as far as when to harvest it, as soon as the plants start dying back, when you're harvesting them, especially if they're in the garden, in a bed, make sure you're really careful because those pegs that go down off the plant, at the end of them, that's where the little peanuts form. And if you dig around too much, you might knock the peanut off the peg and then you lose it in the soil. So dig really carefully around the plants, gently lift it up and try to knock off that soil as much as you can. And then you want to dry them for about a week or two. And you want to dry them in a place that's an unheated greenhouse, for example, or a shed or a garage, something like that where it stays nice and dry with some good air circulation. Once they're dry, remove the peanuts, clean them up a little bit, roast them in 350 degree oven for about 20 minutes, and enjoy the ball game.
Delicious. If you've got questions, send them to gardening@vermontpublic.org and listen to this wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.